This episode of Flu Talks is brought to you by Flutec Global, your one-stop shop for custom solutions for businesses at any scale. Flutec provides a wide range of services from consultancy to enterprise-grade platform development. To find out more, click on the link in the description.
So I'm Kuria Gidenji. But the hard name is Lancelot.
Lancelot.
Yeah. So most guys just call me Kuria. Third year ICS.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Thank you for...
I love playing Scrabble.
Ah, yes. Yes. And you would probably beat me at that. thank you for being here, Lancelot. It's a pleasure to be with you. Now, we have just heard from your lecturer, but even as I ask these questions, pretend he's not in the same room with you. Pretend he's not going to set any exams for you. So let's just start things off by asking. So we've heard about, you know, you guys have AI as, you know, AI concepts in your curriculum currently. Now, what has your experience been? I mean, don't think about the cut you're going to do in a few minutes, but in general, what has your experience been with AI?
So I think AI is like, it's really helpful if you know how to use it in the right way. Let's take the example of ChatGPT. So, because I won't lie, I use it often, not all the time, but often.
To do your assignments?
No, not really. Yeah, not really. True.
Okay.
So, for example, you want to search for something on the net. GPT is like very good, like at indexing. Like pages, like just summarizing it for you. So you can just search like for what you want. Maybe how to prepare cookies. So you just search that and maybe it can direct you to, you can go to like to this page or you can watch like this kind of videos. So that's the help that it's bringing in. But then let's use the analogy of a wheel. So like the Flintstones, like those guys who used to live with dinosaurs. For you to move from one place to another, you just like walk, but then now they came up like the wheel and all those things. So that's how I'd see like AI. It's a wheel that helps you to move from one place to another. But then if you also look at a wheel, if all the time you're in a car moving from one place to another, even if it's a short distance, how are you able to exercise your muscles of your legs? So you find like you get varicose veins or elephantiasis. Like you're not bringing help to yourself. But cars are like are very helpful if you want to move over a long distance. So we need to be clear on that, on those two sides that yes, AI is helpful, but you can't rely on everything. For example, how do I, let me speak in Swahili. Neza chipo ajedem. So, I mean, those are things maybe you'd need to learn from other people, like interacting with people, and like if you have a problem with girls, you need to like talk to girls more often. So that's how I would see AI. It's helpful, but you need to be really clear on what you want to do with it.
All right. Interesting take. And do you feel like your experience and what you're being taught in the classroom helps you understand to a certain degree how some of these tools work? Do you feel like it's giving you an advantage or it's helping you look at things a bit differently?
Let me say partially, because for example, if I wasn't in school, then obviously because there's the net and everything and social media, so you'll hear there's something called AI, people are talking about it, LLMs and whatnot. So like, okay, let me see what these things are. And there are many free resources being offered by Google and Microsoft for you to learn about AI. So I'll just delve into it. But then you see, if you take that approach, most probably it would be towards a certain goal. Maybe if you're using, for example, AI tools from Google, it would be to build Google products, most probably. But you'd be limited into maybe being creative in your own way to make whatever you want. Now, that's where maybe school is like helpful. But now there's two sides of it, academia and now your own creativity. So academia, if you're learning all these things, it's to be like an academic person. So that knowledge. But then also your creativity. So you've learned about AI today. So like, okay, what can I do with it? So now that's where the creativity part comes in. So Yes, it's helpful, but it's not fully, because sometimes it can be really skewed. Sometimes our lecturers skew things so much so that it looks like we need to be so good at these things to help other companies out there, like 9-to-5s. But really, you'd hear like someone open it up to you and show you that you can use all these tools to create something that's never been seen before, or to improve something that's already there.
All right, all right. Now, what would you change about the AI elements in the curriculum? What would you change? How would you approach things? You've said there's an element to, you know, pressure being skewed in one direction or another. What would you change?
So let's say it was maybe let's take the example of a canvas for painting. So that's the thing output, that's how it, like, factor in the AI. Like just a canvas, so it's blank. So now you feed, put the meat, like put the paint, put everything. But then how it works is the same for everyone, but then the output should be different for everyone, so that how can I say this? We all bring out what we want, because there are things that we are thinking, but then we just don't know how to put them down. Let me take the example of I'll use the unit we are doing that we're being taught by a lecturer, mobile application. So sometimes you don't understand how Android Studio works. And maybe what you want to build, you already have it in your mind. So you want to say, I wish there was a way I could just feed in what I have in my mind. Then it's generated easily without me having to like create functions, without me having to deal with XML. Yeah, sometimes that's so frustrating, because you already have the ending goal and end in sight, but you don't know how to get there. I think that's how I would approach AI. But I know it's very, still very blurry, but I think I don't know. That's how I would approach it.
All right. Thank you very much for your time, Lancelot. I think let's give him a hand.
I go by Andrew Mushiri, third year ICS student, but I rarely identify as a tech guy. I'm a businessman.
And you dress as such. So for those of you who may not be able to see Andrew, he is very well dressed.
You're too kind.
Anyway, welcome Andrew to the episode. And I'll ask you the same basic questions that I've just asked Lancelot. Now, what has your experience been with AI?
My experience with AI, in one word, I'd say godsend. In my opinion, AI is a godsend.
Elaborate, please.
No matter which way you look at it, whether it's from an academic point of view, or now, like from a business point of view, it's managed to help me in a lot of ways. For example, if you're looking at the business point of view, let's say you're stuck at a particular point, you're not, you have this mental roadblock. You can put it into, like, say ChatGPT, and it offers a perspective that you couldn't have thought of on your own. Also, simple things like writing emails, things that would take a while for me to write, you know, simply because you want to convey the tone, you don't want to, you know, say something that might come off as differently than you would have wanted. It's much easier to go, this is what I want to say, but make it sound like this. Saves time, so it frees up a lot of your time, your energy, you know, these valuable resources, so that you can handle the things that actually matter. In academia, I'd say as a tool, it's a godsend as a tool, not as a shortcut. Because for me, like, for example, yesterday we were having this unit called computer graphics. Computer graphics is a wild one. It's a wild one. Basically, because this is the first semester we're learning Python, at least in class. I know there's some people here who have been doing this since like Form 4, you know. But for me, it's the first time I'm learning Python, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of stuff that I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And using ChatGPT as a tool rather than as a shortcut, it's enabled me to, like, you know, it's like having a lecturer mm-hmm. on your laptop, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it helps you fill those knowledge gaps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick up on something you've just said about like emails and whatnot and using AI to craft such things.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, do you worry potentially that there might be a degree of sameness? Like, you know, I want to write an email that informs a client that we shall no longer be engaging with them or whatever. But I want it to sound, woye, woye. You know, it's regrettable, but, you know. Now, do you worry that somewhere along the line, you may have to do, you may have that situation that's unique to you. I may have the same situation. Guy behind the mic might have the same sort of email they want to craft. So, you know, you've got the same prompts, quote unquote, and, you know, the AI tool, whatever it is, returns something that will sound similar, you know, the similarities between...
Cookie cutter.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Do you worry about that?
No, because let's go back to the whole as a tool and not as a shortcut
mm-hmm,
thing.
Because mm-hmm.
for me, it's crafting the body,
mm-hmm,
you
mm-hmm.
know. I'll never ask it to write something
mm-hmm.
and just copy and paste.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I want to get this idea out of my head, but I don't know how, from mm-hmm. my head to the paper.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where it like bridges that gap. So mm-hmm. once I get it on paper, now I'm like, yeah, this is what I want to say, but mm-hmm. I don't want this. So I edit it myself.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll never be the same as the soon-to-be Dr. Machange's email or Guy Behind the Mic's email or your email. It still has that personal touch.
All right, brilliant. Yeah. But, you know, you sound like a principled user of these tools. What about the, I'm going to call them lazy users. What about this person who says, write me an email, control A, control C, control V, or command if you're on the Mac?
I'm not really quite sure how to approach that question because since time immemorial,
mm-hmm.
like there are people who use tools as shortcuts,
mm-hmm.
and I guess there's nothing much to say about them because if you don't self-regulate,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
then
mm-hmm.
no one's gonna do it for you. You okay. know, as a grown-up, you have to know when to do this, when to do that, when to do what. You know, based on your priorities and based on you know, I know I'm getting deep into this, but like your goals in life, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I feel like that's a personal responsibility. There's nothing wrong with providing the tools to achieve something. And mm-hmm. if someone misuses that, then that is not on you. That's on them.
Balanced answer. I like it. Now, you say you don't consider yourself as techie per se, you're more a business
yeah,
person.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, given your outlook on things, and that's perfectly understandable. Actually, like, you know, some of the guys I was in class with, we did a course and, you know, tech slanted, but they are nowhere in tech. They're nowhere in business. Like a case in point is there's a guy we were in class with, graduated at the same time, but he's in news media now. Completely, you know, like north and south.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, yeah.
Given that outlook, given that perspective, given your approach to things, how would you change how AI is approached in relation to the classroom setting, in relation to academia, in your setting, in your perspective?
I like the question a lot. For me, I'd say what we mostly focus on in this course, at least if you were to ask me, what we mostly focus on is how things work, how mm-hmm. to build these things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a very application-driven person. I'm not a very technical person.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's like, I'm not the guy who will develop the tools, but I love finding ways to use the tools, you know,
mm-hmm.
finding ways to manipulate the tools better than others
mm-hmm.
would,
mm-hmm.
you know, to get ahead in life, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I'd say I would add the aspect of how to apply them
mm-hmm.
in real life scenarios, you mm-hmm. know, real world scenarios.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
My name is Shomtai Cynthia. I'm a third year computer science student in Strathmore University.
Thank you for being here, Chemutai Cynthia, Cynthia Chemutai CC. Cynthia. Cubic centimeters. Anyway, that's a lame joke, but you can hear that just fine guy behind the mic. Brilliant. Sawa. So, again, as with the two previous guests, I will ask you the same sort of question. What has your experience been with AI so far?
So far, it's actually helped me.
Mm-hmm.
I've used it in so many of the units I've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
For example, in my CS Project 1, mm-hmm. I actually worked on machine learning.
Mm-hmm.
It helped me a lot from my documentation
mm-hmm.
to the actual work.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't able to achieve everything that I wanted to achieve, but mm-hmm. like it helped me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what's your approach to all of this? Again, you know, you guys are being introduced to AI at the classroom level.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same level of exposure that, you know, many people out there have. So mm-hmm. what has been your approach to AI? Even as you're using these tools, how do you feel your approach is a bit different?
Sometimes I actually struggle
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that, because the same thing they both said.
Mm-hmm.
When you're trying to find a solution to a certain problem
mm-hmm.
and you've not specified what you actually want,
mm-hmm.
then you get different outputs,
mm-hmm.
which is not going to be helping you.
Mm-hmm.
Again, something else is data security.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I am there, I'm giving out my information.
Mm-hmm.
And then, for example, if I'm doing, how am I going to put it? If I'm doing a research problem and then I put out too much information about me
mm-hmm.
so that I can get the exact answers that I want,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if someone else is going to come inside the tool and use my information.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Do you feel like... perhaps even as we use these tools,
mm-hmm.
We may not always give data security fair thought. Do you feel like sometimes, you know, we just want convenience, whatever the cost, or do you feel like we have a batch of people who use these tools bearing in mind, you know, the concerns you've just raised?
Yeah. Okay, for example, me as a student,
mm-hmm.
I just want to finish my work. I don't care if you know it, this is what I'm doing
mm-hmm.
or something else.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just use it. But someone else who's trying to understand how Strathmore students work,
mm-hmm.
how they go about their assignments and everything,
mm-hmm.
they'll come and take that data. So me, I might not care,
mm-hmm.
but someone outside there mm-hmm. cares about it.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, just to pick on something you said mm-hmm. a few moments ago with your project,
mm-hmm.
how did that look? You know, you've done your documentation and I know I detested documentation, so I'd have done the same thing, but
yeah.
perhaps maybe give us a bit of background about the project. You don't have to go into details. And then, how did AI feature, you know, like the tools you use, how did they feature in getting this project down the finish line?
Okay, so my topic for my CS project was machine learning
mm-hmm.
using regression tools
mm-hmm.
for stock prediction.
Mm-hmm.
So in my documentation sector, obviously, if I don't know how to define my topic, my research topic, I'll go use a tool, I get the perfect topic.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can ask, for example, ChatGPT,
mm-hmm.
to give me multiple types of research questions, and then I pick the best one that sounds like me,
mm-hmm.
and then I insert it in the documentation side. And then again, in the actual project, the application that you're trying to build, trying to find ways that will be easier in, like, how am I going to put it? Trying to find ways, if, for example, we're dealing with a certain criteria of data,
mm-hmm.
which is the best section to start from? Should I start from a while back, or should I start from the beginning,
mm-hmm.
or is, you see? So it depends, yeah.
All right. That's I think that's a nice background to work with.
Yeah.
If any of you out there is currently struggling with your project, you know who to turn to. So with all of that in mind,
mm-hmm.
what would you change about how AI is taught, the approach taken to teach it, how it's used by students? you know, all that. Would you change things? And if so, yes. I mean, what? If not, then why not?
Okay. The first one is the lecturers being accepting to the students using the tools. For example, yesterday we had another unit mm-hmm. called research methodology.
Mm-hmm.
It's about research. And then the lecturer is trying to tell us not to use AI tools. Obviously, we want to use it to help us like enhance our documentation.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we might have an idea and we don't know how to put it.
Mm-hmm.
So lecturers and the students being accommodative of the AI. Then the second one, again, data security.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want my information to be out there. Me, I care. Probably people don't care that much. But again, yeah, students. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right. All right. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for your time,
Thank
Cynthia.
Thank you, too.
It's been a pleasure having you.
Nice to meet you.
I go by Alvin.
Mm-hmm.
Alvin Ngano.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a DACS student in Strathmore.
Brilliant. He could just have stopped at your name, which it's fine, but it's fine. You can never go wrong with an over introduction. So Alvin,
yeah.
I have a couple of questions for you. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, before I even get to that route, what are your thoughts? What are your feelings towards AI? The state of AI right now, be it in school life, be it in your general day to day life. What are your thoughts towards AI?
First of all, I think AI, the way it's emerged, it's tend to shock a lot of people because
mm-hmm.
it's done way more than I can say people are expecting it to
mm-hmm.
do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easily paving its way into our lives
mm-hmm.
and that we see like it makes a lot of work easier.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't say that it's a lazy nature in humans, mm-hmm. but we tend to go for the easier things when we can. So seeing how it's quickly paving its way into our life, I can say it's really making huge changes
mm-hmm.
and it's aiding in just the advancement in the way people live. And if you compare things before AI and now,
mm-hmm.
I can say there's a drastic change.
Mm-hmm. Now, what has your experience been with it so far?
Personally, mm-hmm. I fall under the category of lazy humans who we tend to personally, let me use an example of ChatGPT, which is one of the easiest examples I'll use.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it tends to be really efficient in sense when you're looking for something
mm-hmm.
and you don't have, let's say you're researching on a certain topic,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to go back to the library and to all different sorts of books.
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as just typing in a few words and it will really generate for you a lot of accurate content.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I can say it's made my life easier and I've enjoyed working with it because literally it makes everything easier.
All right. All right. Now, just to pick up on something you've said, do you feel that there's a risk in trusting the output that's generated, say, from a prompt given to ChatGPT? Do you feel like there's a risk in trusting completely in that output?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I can say it hasn't been confirmed as... I don't think everything has been confirmed yet to mm-hmm. be accurate, mm-hmm. like 100%.
Mm-hmm.
I've come across different instances whereby ChatGPT I've prompted it and it's brought about an answer that I know was wrong. And it tends to make you question a lot about it. But at the same time, you look at the accurate answers it gives you and the few flaws it has,
mm-hmm.
It's easily to neglect that and trust the rest of the answers.
All right. So you're a trusting guy. How frequently, just as a by the way, how frequently do you walk around in town? Just out of curiosity, do you walk in town daily?
No, not daily.
Okay, no. So that's good. Nothing will get stolen. You're good. All right. So now, given that you use AI, you seem to be a frequent user of AI. Now, what, actually, no, before I even get to that question, do you feel like the knowledge that you acquire in class, you know, you guys are being taught about, you know, the training methods, you know, all that stuff, all the stuff that goes into actually getting to that finished product of an AI, a generative AI tool that can be used. Now, given all of that, do you feel like your knowledge is bleeding into your use of the tool? The knowledge you're acquiring in school, you feel like it's bleeding into its, into the use of, say, ChatGPT? Or is the knowledge you're acquiring in class affecting how you interact with the tool in any way?
I think it's the knowledge that I acquire in class that pushes me to sometimes go into ChatGPT. Because personally, I came to realize that I can easily use it as a revision material. Usually see how it really breaks down for you the content. It really explains extra to what you've asked it. I tend to see like it aids someone, let's say they didn't understand well a particular concept in class. They can go further, look into it, because now you have ChatGPT with you. You can ask it as many questions as you want, building up on what you're searching on. Because let's say you were doing a topic under cryptography and you didn't understand how something like DS works. That's one of the things we look into. Most of the time we come to see that when we use ChatGPT, it's a result of you having seen something in class that you didn't really get. You now tend to go research, because the example of in cryptography, if you're studying under a particular part of it, let's say something called DS, if you didn't really understand how the system works, how everything around it goes about, you can go prompt ChatGPT. It will give you a step-by-step explanation of how things work and generally how the whole system goes about its own business. But also, that's my point of view. I can say for most students, it tends to be a situation whereby you tend to over rely on ChatGPT sometimes. Because, say you are in class and didn't understand something, you'll easily neglect it, knowing that you can just go prompt ChatGPT and it will easily give you the feedback you still wanted.
All right. Yeah, that is definitely a valid concern. Maybe on that point, maybe I'd ask you one question just to conclude things or to shake things up a bit. Do you think your lecturers use AI to set exams?
I have one in mind.
We will not name names. Got it.
But I don't see the reason why they shouldn't, because AI, technically, the whole point is to create something that can be as much as a human and just try and advance on that. So if he has a particular set of questions or content he wants to derive questions from, why struggle and you can use ChatGPT or a different AI?
Hot take. Thank you very much, Alvin. Following up from Alvin, we have yet another student we'd like to get some thoughts from. Before we get into that, please, what's your name?
Nicole Owens.
Nicole, brilliant. Thank you for taking the time to be here, Nicole. I will start you off with the same sort of questions that I've been asking, and I'll start off by asking, what are your feelings towards AI right now?
I feel like AI is a tool that's going to propel our generation and the generations to come forward because it's making things easier day by day, not just education-wise. Yeah, so I think my thoughts are all positive regarding AI.
Maybe just to pick on something you've said, you feel like it's gone beyond just education. Do you care to elaborate a bit more?
Yeah, I feel like for entertainment,
mm-hmm.
AI helps you. For example, if you want to have a movie night,
mm-hmm.
You can just search up like best movies to watch, then put up the context you're wishing for.
Mm-hmm.
Or even some people on Snapchat, there's an AI tool
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
that
mm-hmm.
you can converse with when you're feeling lonely, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I think... Mm-hmm. It goes beyond just furthering knowledge mm-hmm. in class,
mm-hmm.
but even it can be a source of companionship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's an excellent take on. Excuse me, that's an excellent take on things. So now, given that you as a student are currently having to deal with student things in all their glory. How do you feel like it's helped you within the classroom context? Or do you feel like it's helped you? Maybe let's just start from there. Do you feel like it's helped you?
Yes.
How?
I feel like when I'm working on deadlines
mm-hmm.
for projects,
mm-hmm.
it helps me know exactly what to focus on
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
so that I waste less time in doing a bunch of revision for stuff that's not necessary.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I also feel like it's a good way to have a planner.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are planners which are based on AI.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you can plan out your schedule by mm-hmm. just typing in all the units that you have and the amount of content. Then it just plans everything for you in an orderly way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You seem to have a very... unique take on things, and I say that because I think you're probably the first person I've heard say talk about the whole aspect of companionship, the aspect of scheduling. I've heard people use it in context to projects, but let's focus on those two takes because it feels like there's a conversation to be had there. Now, given the how would I say? The fact that AI tools in their current form feel very much like, you know, they react to what you give them, what you feed them. So what you might feed this tool, what I might feed that tool, what the 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 people in this room feed that tool. Do you feel like there's potential for abuse in that space? So let's say you've got something that's used for companionship, yeah? Like a tool that the idea behind it is companionship. You've got a chatbot or whatever tool that is used to, whose aim is companionship. Do you feel like there's potential for abuse in that space?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And no at the same time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I feel like, okay, I'll go by the same.
Mm-hmm.
In every market, you'll always find a crazy person.
mm-hmm.
So I feel like in as much as AI has definitely more benefits
mm-hmm.
than disadvantages,
mm-hmm.
there'll always be people who want to use it the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean that it should now be scrapped because of one or two individuals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think the people who abuse it
mm-hmm.
just want to get rid of the qualities that AI provides
mm-hmm.
to you. Because I feel like, for example, the Snapchat one,
mm-hmm.
even though you're feeding it with information and the answers are kind of tailored to the questions that you feed it,
mm-hmm.
I feel like it has a mind of its own.
Mm-hmm.
And artificial general intelligence is growing by the day.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of just giving you generalized answers, it now gets to know you deeper based on specific things that you talk to it about.
Mm-hmm.
So the people abusing it will always be there, but it doesn't mean that it should stop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you worry that someone at Snapchat is going to use all the information that you've given to the bot the chat bot to the AI? Do you worry that someone at Snapchat may say, this looks like an interesting subject. Let's check on Nicole. Or maybe somebody among your classmates ends up working at Snapchat and decides, let's see what juicy details we've got. Now, do you worry that someone, there's that potential for abuse of personal information?
I think there is.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the data that they get should be encrypted.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not immediately, but that should be a consideration for future use.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I believe that the people working with these tools
mm-hmm.
or robots per se
mm-hmm.
should have to sign certain documents
mm-hmm.
that prevent you from airing out people's personal business, or else maybe you get a lawsuit, something of the sort.
So regulation.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Now, to close things off, do you think your lecturers use AI to set exams?
Not really.
Okay. Trusting individual. Thank you very much for your time, Nicole.
Anytime.
So my name is Jay Patel.
Mm-hmm. Nice to meet you, Jay. Thank you for the time you've taken to be here. Now, Jay, question. What are your thoughts towards AI?
I think AI is very dangerous right now.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. We get the spice now. Come on, tell us.
Yeah. It's like it's not regulated as much.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like there should be more regulations,
mm-hmm.
especially towards like some aspects of AI.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can create deepfakes of anyone right now
mm-hmm.
within
mm-hmm.
a couple of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Videos that look realistic.
Mm-hmm.
Or even photos.
Mm-hmm. Mm. All right. Now, no one will be able to trace this to you, but have you created a deepfake of anyone?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not yet.
All right. Please note that you do not... forget it. Anyway, so you have not created deepfakes of anyone, but why... What... I mean, yes, you've mentioned deepfakes and all that, but has there been a specific incident that you feel that perhaps changed your view? Because, you know, as humans, we generally try to be optimistic.
Yes.
So what is it that made you think, you know what, this might actually be a bit dangerous?
Like, obviously, you know, I can get pictures of anyone right now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it can be targeted to even like our family members.
Mm-hmm.
In India right now, there's this scamming going on
mm-hmm.
where... you download an app
mm-hmm.
for a loan,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and they take all your data.
Mm-hmm.
So and then, so if you have my pictures, you can get deepfake, and then you can use that as a leverage to maybe
mm-hmm.
tell me to pay you back or even more.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that is certainly dangerous. That actually is quite dangerous. Now, given that you mentioned that there's that element of danger, what would you change about AI and its use right now?
First of all, I think the companies have mm-hmm. to step up and tell us how they're doing it and mm-hmm. why they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we have so many deepfake sites, for example, or even ChatGPT itself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't know how it's generating its data. We don't know where it's generating it from. We mm-hmm. don't know what it's doing with that data.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, even data privacy right now.
Mm-hmm.
They can decide to monetize on maybe the prompts we give it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that can be used by companies, let's say like Google, mm-hmm. who are making money by getting ad revenues, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if we tell them that, okay, this guy is prompted for, let's say, what's the best laptop right now?
Mm-hmm.
ChatGPT can sell that information. Right now, who's stopping them to sell that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Interesting take. Now, I'm going to ask you a question as a student in tech, as a student who is informed on AI, the you know, some of the things that go on into building an AI. Now, what role do you think that you as a future tech bro, you know, mm-hmm. what role do you think you can play?
First mm-hmm. is maybe, you know, you have to bring up talks about what AI is and
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
how powerful AI really can be. Like, yes, there are some good aspects of AI in healthcare and stuff, but mm-hmm. we should teach people how to use it the correct way
mm-hmm.
and maybe not exploit it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's one way of maybe putting out the information.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing is maybe even have, like we have open source things, so mm-hmm. maybe even if AI would have been open source, but again, that brings out that somebody will use it in the wrong way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
maybe finding regulations of how to, you know, so people can use it the right way.
Mm. If you could put one regulation in place right now, what would it be?
One thing I can do is, first of all, the large companies that are currently dominating, like ChatGPT, Google Bard, mm-hmm. there's so many others. Such as these people can actually take AWS. Like, obviously, ChatGPT, they had their own webinar recently.
Mm-hmm.
They announced that they have copyright and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But we should be, they should be more open. There should be transparency. So I think, as if I'm the one regulating, I'll call for transparency.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Transparency. That's a good way of looking at things. Do you think it would be easy to achieve, though?
No.
That was. I thought you'd continue to give to explain.
Like, it obviously not, because mm-hmm. Like, you know, there'll be other. Okay, let's say I put a regulation for it in Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
Another country will say, okay, we won't have regulations. Come here to our country.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Let's monetize in that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, that's a fair way of looking at things. Maybe to close things off. Would you, if you were a lecturer, would you set exam questions using AI?
Yes.
Thank you for your honesty and for your time, Jay.
You're welcome.
My name is Nyakundi Moire. I am an aspiring computer scientist.
Ooh, I dig your confidence, Nyakundi. I like that. Now, as an aspiring computer scientist, I'd like to ask you one question and one question only. Okay, no. It's not just one question, but let's, for now, one question. What are your thoughts towards AI right now?
I believe it is the best thing that is currently going on.
Mm-hmm.
It is a godsend for not only my personal life, but also for my school life.
That is an emphatic answer. I like that. Why do you say so?
Well, okay. Like, I will begin with school,
mm-hmm.
because that's most relevant right now.
Mm-hmm.
With generative AI, mm-hmm. specifically the ones I use, ChatGPT 3.5
mm-hmm.
and Bard.
Mm-hmm.
For those ones, it's, for me, it has essentially replaced Google.
Mm-hmm.
You can very quickly go there,
mm-hmm.
type the question exactly how you want it and get the answers.
Mm-hmm.
It will be, it's not the best, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
As you all know, it has the tendency to just generate stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But 9 times out of 10, it'll be accurate, it'll be useful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even for these assignments,
mm-hmm.
I can be told, for example, go write an app, just make a quick chat app.
Mm-hmm.
I can go to the AI and tell it the same, just how do I start this, and it'll give me a quick outline.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to go sifting through all my notes. I don't have to go ask someone. It'll give me everything I need.
Mm-hmm.
Now, outside of that, even with my own personal life, like, for example, I play Dungeons & Dragons. Do you know that?
I do.
Yes. So now, for one of my characters, I used Midjourney
mm-hmm.
to now generate the character art.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So now I don't have to commission anyone. I don't have to search Pinterest and who knows where else to find an art. Just tell the AI what you want. Slowly, slowly refine. You get exactly what you wanted. In the same vein, also to now build my character, I also just asked it. Oh, I need a background. I need motivations. I need all these things.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're not always ideal, but it's a good place to start from.
Mm-hmm.
Like, AI has been a godsend in my life.
First of all, you're the first D&D player I've met here. I think I can confidently say that. And I think I'll latch onto that for just a moment. Now, let's assume. So, you know, you've got Midjourney for your, say, character portrait or whatever.
Yeah.
You've got motivations, backstory, all that by using whatever generative AI tool you use. Yeah.
Yes.
Now, what do you feel about AI's place, say, in something like game development?
Okay.
In terms of NPCs, in terms of, you know, general things like that. What do you think AI could play? What role do you think AI could play right now?
Let me give a bit of background.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the reason I want to become a computer scientist is because of gaming,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
right? Like, I have been playing games since I could.
Mm-hmm.
The first game I ever played was some Looney Tunes one on the PS1.
Mm-hmm.
Literally decades of gaming behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And I know right now the industry is moving towards avoid AI.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want AI generating our NPCs, our dialogue, any of that.
Mm-hmm.
Get actual artists and pay them.
Mm-hmm.
my controversial opinion is we should be going the opposite direction. I feel AI is actually the future. Because a lot of the time, when you get to this dialogue, it's generic stuff. It's not really like people have taken time out of the day to write this. This is, or you're talking to a guard, you need to buy some milk. So of course they're saying, oh, hello, what would you like to buy today?
Yeah.
Now, if you have an AI, even if it changes from, oh, how are you today? Oh, I saw you yesterday. Or, you know, I feel it's, that is the way we should be going. The same thing with, even outside of just dialogue with combat, right? Like a lot of games die because of the AI, right? When you're trying to have a proper game, you can't because the AI just doesn't work, you know? You have to wait until someone comes online to get a proper game. If you push AI to the point where even the bots are indistinguishable from actual players, I feel that is nothing but a positive for computing, for gaming in general.
All right.
I'm completely for AI in gaming.
Brilliant. I like your conviction behind that. Now, stepping away from the gaming scene for just a moment, in your life as a student, you mentioned that, say, an assignment, you know, you've been given this task to do. Now, do you feel like there's a danger in being too reliant on AI?
Yes, completely and utterly. I've seen it myself. Like a lot of people, like the example my lecturer gave of, there was a 5-paragraph email just to talk about attendance when usually it's like 2 lines, right? In that case, like that person will never learn how to write an email because they always just go to the AI. Why do I need to learn this skill? And that also extends. Like as I said, I can go to ChatGPT right now and get a decent code, right? But if I keep doing that, I'll never learn it myself because it's always just copy-paste. Right. The one saving grace is AI isn't that good, so you almost always have to debug. But in terms of like the danger it poses, I do believe it will reduce the effort like students are putting in. In some cases, that's a good thing because a lot of this stuff is filler. Like no one is going to ask you define a variable, right? But you're still going to give that in assignments.
Yeah.
So if an AI can do that for you, you're just saving time. But when it comes to actual coding, when you're told make this function, and you're like, okay, wait, let me go pull up my AI, right? It's, of course, you shouldn't get the job. So I do feel there's a danger, but it's not enough to discourage me.
All right. What would you change if you had the power to change things about how AI is utilized in the classroom setting and beyond? What would you change?
Okay. That's a tricky one. I believe the most important thing is we need to like get the layperson to truly understand. I feel like a lot of the pushback to AI is coming from unfounded fears. In the school as well, like if you talk to our lecturers, the IT lecturers, they will be all for it. They'll be like, AI is a good tool, use it, but only sparingly. Once you go outside, they're like, don't use AI at all. Completely and utterly avoid it. It is the same way, it is a calculator. It's like a calculator. It only helps. It's a tool to help you. It's not going to do the work for you. What I'd change is I'd prevent schools and universities from like minimizing its use, but also at the same time, you need to improve the like the detection tools, right? So even those who rely on AI realize it's just a tool. It's not going to get this degree for me. So yeah, I'd simultaneously lower restrictions on that the schools put in place, but raise like just how accurate these testers are. So at least we know whether it's your work or whether it's not.
All right.
Yes.
Thank you very much for your input and your time.
Thank you for having me.
My name is Arabella Mtende.
Arabella. That's a nice, unique name. And thank you for taking the time to be with us. So I'll ask you the same sort of question just to kick things off. What are your thoughts towards AI right now?
I think AI is quite helpful, mm-hmm. especially if you know how to use it. Like, you can't just use it blindly. Mm-hmm. You have to be smart while using it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What would using it blindly look like to you in whatever case? What would it look like to you?
Blindly, that is just using, like, letting AI think for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, definitely, like, if you want to use it smartly, you need to first, let's say if it's a question, some code snippet,
mm-hmm.
you need to first think of how you're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Then now maybe use AI to improve on your code functionality and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry, I interrupted you. Okay. Oh, you want to continue? You want to finish up?
Yeah, yeah. So you can, let's say if you just get a question, you can just ask it immediately. Like, you need to think first.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right. Now, it sounds like to me you've either seen people do that or you've done it yourself.
Okay. At first,
mm-hmm.
I used to use it blindly, like, but I noticed that promoted laziness, like I wasn't thinking.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, so now I actually learned uh-huh. how to use GPT, like how to get better prompts. Uh-huh, yeah.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. So what is it that made you realize that, like, was there a particular instance that made you realize that you might not be using these AI tools well, wisely? Was there any particular moment, or was it just a general realization that you came to?
Yeah, we bought the upgraded GPT-4. You know how GPT-4,
yes.
you can integrate images, PDFs and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So once we bought it,
mm-hmm.
so it was quite easy to use it. Like, it's not like the GPT 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
So now when you ask it, like, the answers are quite fast,
mm-hmm.
and you get detailed responses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think that was when I figured out, like, just using it blindly mm-hmm. is not an effective way of using AI.
All right. So in a school setting, what would you say is, like, the ideal case for generative AI tools? What would be the ideal? Like, if you could say this is the one place where AI makes, like, the ideal scenario, the best place you could use it, what would it be?
The best place to use,
yes, like,
artificial generative AI.
Yes. What would be the best place? Would it be, like, at the teaching stage? Would it be where you are trying to pick up on certain concepts? Would it be, like, say, revision? What would it be?
I think the best is revision, because
mm-hmm.
you know, at first you have the fundamental knowledge, so
mm-hmm.
you'd want to know more about a certain concept, so revision would be ideal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, and outside of school, outside of the classroom setting, have you used AI for more general life things as opposed to school things?
For the past month, we've been working on a project
mm-hmm.
that utilizes generative AI for farmers.
Mm-hmm.
So that
mm-hmm.
has been quite a learning experience.
Actually, on that note, maybe just something to that has been at the back of my mind is, and working with these farmers, are they all fluent in English? Are they all fluent in English?
No.
All right. So how do you tackle such situations? Because, you know, many of these tools are built with that English bias, if I could put it that way, where, you know, if you're proficient in English, then things like prompts and what have you will serve you a lot better. You know, you've got other languages, like, used in different parts of the world, but say a vernacular language. How would you be able to, say, leverage these tools, bearing in mind that gap, and also working within your particular context?
Okay, let me take an example, like Swahili and say Maasai.
Mm-hmm.
We noticed while we were working on the project, we noticed that GPT is a bit advanced in understanding Swahili,
mm-hmm.
but in languages like Maasai,
mm-hmm.
now for that you have to train your model. So
mm-hmm.
you integrate GPT and you train it according to the language. So it will answer based on Maasai language. Like, if you ask it Maasai, it will answer in Maasai.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, in a case like that, would you say that despite the presence of AI tools, you've got you've got that room for you to actually utilize some of the skills that you're picking up in class. Because, you know, you guys are being taught training of AI models and what have you. So you've got your own model on one side, and you've got ChatGPT or GPT as its own platform. Now, plugging in those two, would you say that that's something that you are finding as an interesting application in your setting?
Yeah, definitely. Because you also apply what you learned in school. Like, mm-hmm. if you'd want to use a GPT model, mm-hmm. you integrate an API so that you learn in school. So mm-hmm. it goes a long way.
All right. I can understand that. Well, I will wish you all the best with your project. But bringing things back to the school setting, if you are in a position to change things regarding the use of AI tools in the classroom setting as a student, what would you change?
I wouldn't change anything. Mm-hmm. It will be free for everyone, mm-hmm. but just people to learn how to use it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how do you think that learning could be encouraged? Because, you know, not everyone will have that moment of realization where they're like, hey, by the way, I'm not learning anything, and switch to. How would you achieve that learning? You know, like, so that somebody doesn't get to a point where they don't have to go through that learning process like you did, where they just know from the off that as much as I should do this, I should also bear this in mind. How would you achieve that? How do you think you could achieve that?
I think it's more about sharing your experiences so that people learn from your experiences.
All right. Brilliant. Thank you very much for your time, Arabella.
Thank you.
My name is Olive Menorah, and I'm happy to be here.
And we are happy to have you. Thank you very much for your time. So, Olive, same line of questioning. What are your thoughts? What are your feelings towards AI right now?
My thoughts towards AI is it's been like it just took the world by storm.
Mm-hmm.
That's for one. And it's had mixed reactions. There have been mixed reactions from everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I find it beneficial, but not everyone might think the same as me.
Mm-hmm.
I use it for a number of reasons,
mm-hmm.
especially in school.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some people that may see AI as a threat.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, I'll give you the situation of what was happening in Hollywood,
mm-hmm.
where
mm-hmm.
the actors or just creatives within the entertainment industry
mm-hmm.
went on strike because of the rise of AI.
Mm-hmm.
They claim that AI is taking up spaces within the it's taking up opportunities within the entertainment industry.
Mm-hmm.
So they went on strike because AI is being used to write scripts. It's being used to do jobs that were being done by humans initially. Mm-hmm. So mixed reactions,
but yours is overwhelmingly positive. Overwhelmingly or just positive?
It's positive. I'd give it a 7.
Seven is good. I think AI would be happy with a 7. So, in what do you use AI for in your particular setting? You've mentioned, yes, school, but you've also mentioned outside school. So, how does that look like for you?
Okay. Maybe I can start with school.
Mm-hmm.
So, for school, I use it for plagiarism checker. So when I'm doing my assignments and I want to maybe confirm if I've done proper referencing mm-hmm. and all that, mm-hmm. I think that's beneficial for me.
Mm-hmm.
Then also grammar checking.
Mm-hmm.
It saves a lot of time. Rather than proofreading my report or anything of the sort, I just upload my document to Grammarly,
mm-hmm.
and it detects any errors in grammar, and mm-hmm. that saves me a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from school, I use it for design. So maybe when I'm working on a logo for mm-hmm. per se, because I work on design as a side hassle. Mm-hmm. It helps with cleaning up images, let's say removing backgrounds. So it's really beneficial in terms of design. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to pick on the design thing for just a moment. So you're in design, and you've mentioned actually very, very correctly that there's been a strike in Hollywood by creatives over image rights, over the use of AI, it's a whole thing. Now, do you feel that with the rise of AI tools, that say your skills in design will be either rendered obsolete or rendered not all that special? Do you have that fear?
It's definitely a threat. It's mm-hmm. a threat. But I think it's more of a threat for people that choose not to evolve with AI.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important to acknowledge that AI is here mm-hmm. and it's here to stay.
Mm-hmm.
So with emerging technologies, you have to evolve with them. And even in the spaces that we're in,
mm-hmm.
if something is seen as a threat,
mm-hmm.
then it's important to not be on the opposing side,
mm-hmm.
but rather see how you can leverage it to benefit you. Yeah.
Brilliant, brilliant. I like your optimism. So, I mean, obviously you've mentioned that you leverage AI in your own work. Now, do you feel, bringing it back home to school now, okay, bringing it back to school, that AI in the school setting is ripe for use more extensively, or is it just one of those things that will be used but not really talked about?
I think it's still in its earliest phases.
Mm-hmm.
With time,
mm-hmm.
I do think it will be adopted more mm-hmm. into learning, because, of course, there are the issues of, okay, AI is being used by students
mm-hmm.
for their research, mm-hmm. for their work in general in school. So there's that challenge of knowing who exactly is the author of mm-hmm. a particular, you know, piece of some work.
Mm-hmm.
So I think with time, schools are going to have to come up with some measures to combat that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right. Now, given the use of AI in life as is, and given that we're still at the infancy stage where we're still trying to figure things out, what would you change, if anything, about how AI is used
in the world in
right
general?
Now, yes.
Would
you change anything?
I don't think I would change anything, because there's nothing I can change. AI mm-hmm. is here to stay. Mm-hmm. So I would probably just encourage people to pick up AI skills
mm-hmm.
just to make sure that they are evolving with the current trends. Yes, that's what I'd say.
All right. Thank you very much for your time, Olive.
Thank you.